This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Create Your Dream Business Now Academy, a one-of-a-kind live event where Jim will personally teach you how to market and grow a more profitable business faster, even in a crappy economy. During this event, Jim will crack the code and reveal how to create a million-dollar platform on a shoestring budget. You'll learn how to generate a ton of content with ease, and you'll also network with other successful marketers and entrepreneurs. This not-to-be-missed event is March the 13th through the 15th in Las Vegas, and will quite literally transform your business. Do not miss it. Get all the details at www.stopwaitingacademy.com. www.stopwaitingacademy.com.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more, and those are all great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm so excited about this week's show because I have another great special guest, and this is Don Crowther. Let me just tell you a little bit about Don. He is a leading social media marketing and online marketing expert. Don regularly helps companies ranging from Fortune 500 level giant companies to entrepreneurs and small business owners. He helps them all make more money online using proven social media and search marketing techniques. And unlike other so-called experts, and we all know them, we've all met them, Don teaches everything that he knows. He tests everything. In other words, he doesn't just teach conceptual, theoretically what might work. He is very rigorous at identifying, testing, proving, and developing strategies and tactics that work in real-life competitive marketplaces. Don is the real deal, folks. So if you're hearing from Don that you should be trying something, you can rest assured he's tested it in a real-world situation. And Don, you're a busy man. Thank you so much for being my guest this week on Stick Like Glue Radio.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. And I appreciate all the people who are listening to this, too. Let's build your business today.
It's awesome. That's what we do here every week. Is there anything that you'd like to share that I didn't mention in your introduction? Anything we should know about you? You got 10 dogs, 5 cats.
You forgot to mention that I have an amazing wife, incredible children, and the smartest grandchildren in the world.
Oh, that's awesome. That's right. You and I have that in common. We're both grandfathers now. And so let's talk about social media marketing. You know, one of the questions I get asked a lot is, why should, you know, entrepreneurs, especially time-strapped entrepreneurs, make social media in general a part of their overall marketing strategy?
Okay. So there was a day where we had this thing called push marketing, where we would interrupt your life by causing a commercial to show up in the middle of the game or the middle of the show that you're watching, or putting a billboard on the side of the road, or whatever it was, where we would step into your life, cause you to go and look at it. Well, guess what? Interruption marketing really is not working as well today as it was, if it has been working for the past number of years at all. And what has replaced it for a while was search marketing, where people were able to go and find exactly what they were liking, wanted to find out through Google and Yahoo and all the other kinds of services. Well, that actually is losing some of its effectiveness in terms of getting people to actually buy. What people are really looking for now is the third version of marketing, which is interactive marketing and engagement marketing, where what really is happening, what really works today, is where people are finding out from other people what they recommend to solve that person's particular issue. And so what they're doing is they're coming on and they're saying, hey, what's the best Thai restaurant in Milwaukee, Wisconsin? My plumbing just blew out. What do you guys recommend? All those kinds of things, that is what is being done through social media. And what's happening is your people are spending, on average, about an hour a day on social media, whether they're sitting in front of their computer or, in today's world, they're doing it on their cell phone, and they're spending that hour a day. Are you there so that you are a person who can engage in that conversation with them, build the relationships, and get the sales?
It's so funny you say that, because it really is all about engagement. I mean, I'm really big on social media and a lot of channels, but mostly I think Facebook is my main platform, so to speak. And, you know, I regularly see people post questions. Hey, I'm stuck here. What's a good place to eat? Or what's this or that? Or is any of my local peeps got a plumber? And that actually happens. The other reason I'm really a big fan on social media is, Don, I've met so many people initially through social media and kind of going back and forth, and then you meet them in person or you have a phone call, and it's like your old friends, right?
Oh.
And it's so much easier. And one of the stories I tell a lot when I'm on the other side of the microphone doing an interview is, you know, I'm a real huge football fan, so I'm pretty much glued to my couch during NFL time. But I always have my iPad open, and it's like, oh, come on, refs, and you'll see posts go back and forth. And what you're doing is you're interacting with people, and nobody in their right mind would think of calling, hey, I'm going to call Bob Berger, I'm going to call Don Crowther and say, did you see that play? But yet with social media, it's real-time back and forth, relationship building.
Absolutely. And what's happening here is that this goes back to the concept of positioning. So remember the old book, Positioning the Battle for Your Mind, which is a book that I recommend everyone should read. It's a quick, easy read. I strongly recommend that you do that. One of the things that they talk about in there is how, well, here's the way I've internalized it. I like to think of your mind as a room full of file drawers. And every one of those file drawers has a label on it. And that label might be plumber. So you go, you need a plumber, and plumbers are never something that happens. It's never a planned thing. And so you got the emergency. You're trying to make, you're trying to find a plumber. And so you go in your mind to the drawer labeled plumber. You pull open the drawer, and your objective is to be the only folder in that drawer. Not one of five, but the only place people think of when they are looking for a plumber or a bookstore or a consultant or whatever it is that you do. You want to be the person who is, number one, differentiated and seen as superior from everyone else, and so they don't even think about everyone else. And number two, you want to have that relationship, so when they come and open that drawer, oh yeah, Bob, oh, I remember him, I'll just call Bob. Eventually you want to be on their speed dial on their phone. But prior to that, the way to get there is through the relationships, and the best place to build that relationship is in social media.
How and when, do you remember when you kind of started using social media? Like me, I always say I came kicking and screaming to the party because I didn't want to be on Facebook and Twitter and the such, but luckily I wised up. What was your introduction to this whole thing?
So my introduction was I started looking around and I started seeing – I have things that I monitor out there and things that trigger when something is going big. And the trigger came from social media when I started seeing that this was a place that was, number one, generating huge amounts of followers, and number two, generating huge amounts of word of mouth. And so I came in. I did some quick study. I predicted – within a month of getting on social media, that MySpace would die, that the virtual worlds would die, and that Facebook was going to nail it for a while until the replacement of Facebook came along, which still we haven't figured out what that would be. And so it came on really, really early in the process, and yet by looking at it from the way that people really think about it, it's easy to make predictions in regards to some of these things. You know, MySpace, here I am, a married man. I say I'm married. I was getting 50 ads of 16-year-old girls that I should date every single day. And I'm going, if I'm the only one that they are not targeting ads well against, everyone's going to be leaving this in droves. Facebook came along. Sure enough, everyone left. The whole virtual worlds world is like, this is just too clunky. They're not there yet to make that work. Facebook, it was clear that what they had done is they had tied in and they made every single thing social, which is a great lesson for every one of us, which is we need to make everything we do have a social social connection in it. Even if it's not done on social, one of the key things to recognize is your number one social media site is your blog. It's not Facebook. It's nothing else. It's your blog. Your number two, if you have it, is your podcast. Because those are the two places where you control the world. And so what you're trying to do on Facebook and on Instagram and on Pinterest and every place else, Twitter, obviously, is to drive people from the other social media site into your social media site, which is defined as your blog.
Okay.
There you control the world.
Cool. I want to ask you more about Facebook, but let me ask you, why is blogging so important?
Okay. Several reasons. One, I like to think of, back to your football analogy, it's the home versus away. So when you're playing the away game, you're in the middle of their environment, their colors, their people are doing the wave, their people are doing the cheers, their everything is theirs. They boo when you make a touchdown, and they celebrate when the other guys do. That's Facebook. If you go on Facebook and you look around, there are 43 different things calling for your attention surrounding a typical post. Yet, when you're on your blog, you're now playing at home. You control the environment. You control who gets cheered for. You control the ads. You control the opt-ins. You control every single element that is happening on that site is under your control. That's the first thing, is you remove all the distractions that you don't want them to focus on so you can focus on what you want them to do, which is usually buying or opting in the process. Number two, it is amazingly powerful with the search engines. Though search engines love blogs, blogs fit their definition of what of the kinds of things they want to show in the top of the search engines. I very frequently see blogs outranking all other forms of content for an individual or a company. Then number three, blogs are built-in engagement factors with comments, with trackbacks, the other ability to use plugins and to connect with social gives you the ability to build an engagement factor into your blog that you simply cannot do in that same way anyplace else. And then you use the rest of social media to steer people into your blog and to connect back from your blog into social media.
That's awesome. Let me jump back to Facebook, Don. How can people use Facebook as a list-building machine, or is it just more practical to engage and, you know, promote a blog post so then they go back to the blog and things like that?
Okay. So Facebook can and should be a list-building machine. Your job on Facebook is to, number one, develop a good relationship with your customer, but I have to be very, very careful. That relationship does not mean that I'm talking about the game, the dinners, pictures of my lunch, all those kinds of things. What you're doing is you're building that relationship upon the content and the expertise that you have. So the exact wrong thing to do is to just get on there and chat with everyone. Let me just give you an example of that for a moment, then I'll get back to specifically dealing with your Facebook question. I have a friend who runs a business renting out cabins in Island Park, Idaho, which is about 30, 40 miles south of one of the entrances to Yellowstone. It's God's country. It's gorgeous. He had a marketing person whose job was to run advertising, deal with questions and comments on the blog, and to do social media. And so he had heard, he actually was on one of my webinars, heard about social media, and he says, this is what I got to do. And so he went to that person and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go study social media. I want you to go start doing, building our business on social media. And what ended up happening was that person went on and they read that the most important thing was to develop relationships. And so they were spending all this time talking about the latest movie and what people should eat and where they should go and all these kinds of things. And almost nothing that she had to do, was doing on there had anything to do with renting cabins in Island Park, Idaho. She was developing relationships. In fact, she was having so much fun doing all this that pretty soon she started dropping all the other work she was doing on everything else, and she just spent her entire day chatting with people on Facebook. At the end of the time, their business went down because the advertising got turned off. Their blog stopped producing traffic because she stopped blogging, and he came to her and said, what in the world's going on? She says, I'm doing exactly what you told me to do. I'm doing social media. And he looked at her feed and he said, but this doesn't have anything to do with renting cabins. And that's exactly what so many of us fall into, is that we focus on giving out content that has nothing to do with what we do. It's just content that looks interesting. And when you do that, what you end up with is a group of followers who like your football team, who like eating out on Friday night, or who want to wear the same kind of clothes that you're promoting out there. You need to be focusing on whatever it is that you do and that degree of expertise. Then your conversation happens around the content which you post. And so your conversation is about what they need and how you can solve their problem, developing that relationship that you need. So now, to come back to the question that you asked, how do you turn Facebook into a list-building machine? Number one, post quality content about your area of expertise. Most of it being links back to your blog pages where you delve into those areas in more depth. That's the first thing. Number two, periodically, like not every day, you ought to be posting a free incentive that they can get if they will opt in to your list. So sign up to be to receive emails from you and post that to Facebook. Number three, you should be advertising on Facebook. It's quite inexpensive and quite easy to do, advertising your free incentives that cause people to opt into your list. Do those three things. You've got a core to get yourself going, and then there's some really cool advanced techniques that we can go into later too.
Oh, that's awesome. What's the ratio, Don, to just – because, I mean, what you're saying makes sense, but it also it seems to skirt the whole promotional he's selling, he or she is selling type thing. What's the ratio as far as just straightforward, good content that's informational and may even be part of your business? In other words, at least it's your area of expertise versus sending them, you know, off of Facebook.
Okay. So first off, be careful about thinking that the content should be on Facebook. The content can be everywhere, most of it off Facebook. Okay, so most of the time you're sending them off Facebook. Again, the home team versus visiting team analogy. All right, but the real question that you asked there is, what's the ratio of promotional posts that you should do? So worst case in terms of your customer is one in every 50 posts is the most that you should do that are self-promotional posts. Best case is 1 in 200. So somewhere between 1 in every 50 and 1 in every 200 posts should be something that is promotional. In other words, sending them to something that they have to pay money to get that thing. Now, you can increase that ratio to a higher number when you're sending them to something that they get for free in exchange for opting in. But selling something, 1 in every 50 to 200.
Okay.
And I've done a lot of testing of that.
Okay. What are some techniques that you can use to, you know, help build a list using something like Facebook?
Okay, techniques. Number one, video is incredibly powerful. So posting videos on your blog posts and then promoting it using Facebook. Then post the video itself to Facebook that then has a link in it to come into your opt-in page. So what you're looking for is you're looking for creating powerful content that people really want to get for free in exchange for their email address. So the real key here is to have an opt-in incentive that people really want. Most people's opt-in incentive is something that nobody wants. How's that three-year-old ebook that you've been promoting doing for you these days? So when you do something that people really want, then people come. And especially if that thing is an engagement-based thing, a quiz, an assessment, the ability to get a free consultation with you. Those kinds of things can do incredibly well on Facebook because you're using an interactive medium to get interactions. So by interacting with you on Facebook, they then get into a situation where they are able to interact with you more off of Facebook. Number two, strongly recommend that everyone should have a tab on their page, or in other words, an app, a Facebook app, that has an opt-in offer. And that if you go to doncrowther.com/FB, as in Facebook, opt-ins, you can get free instructions on exactly how to do this without having to do any HTML or any – well, you do a little bit of HTML, but I show you exactly how to do it. It's all free. And that will help you be able to get people to opt into your list. What I recommend is you call, make that app be Start Here. So when they come right up there in that list of four apps that they have at the top of your page – one of them says Start Here, and people tend to click on that, and they start there by opting into your list.
That's a great tip. Hey, are you using Pinterest much? Do you have any success with Pinterest?
Yes, Pinterest is incredibly powerful. In fact, Pinterest, if I was to say what social media site delivers the highest number ratio of purchases per click, Facebook beats all others by 4X. So Facebook will send you more purchases, but that's just because there's five times as many people on Facebook as there are on Pinterest. But if someone, if 100 people were to click on a Facebook link to buy something and 100 people were to click on a Pinterest, you will have four times as many sales come from Pinterest. You absolutely should and must be doing Pinterest.
What do you attribute that to, Don? That's a huge number.
Yes, it is. Okay, couple of reasons. The first one is Facebook, let's be really blunt. Facebook is a place where people go to collect friends. They are there for social interaction, to figure out where they're going to go out on Friday night, to look at the pictures of people's kids and grandkids, to harass each other about the game, whatever it is. It's based upon friends. Pinterest, on the other hand, is an aspirational place where people post pictures of things they want in their life. Many of those things that people want in their life are things that they want to buy or have purchased for them. And so they're already in a different mindset in Pinterest. Pinterest is hardly about the interaction at all. It's about posting pictures of things that you aspire to, that you want in your life. So it can be, I want to be skinnier. I want to hang out with rock bands. These are the kinds of people, the kinds of things I want to wear. These are the kinds of people that I want to be. Those kinds of things. It's an aspirational site. In fact, the other day I was going to a wedding. And this is a big internet marketing rock star, and so basically this is a person who makes millions every year, buys whatever he wants. And I said, what in the world do you buy as a wedding gift for someone who has everything he wants? And I went, checked Amazon wish list, not there. So I went to his Pinterest list. Notice his Pinterest list. I started looking around and found him something really cool on Pinterest, gave it to him for his wedding, got a thank you note a few days later that says, even though it basically said, your gift was my favorite wedding gift of everything because you gave me what I really wanted.
Mm. Wow, that's pretty powerful.
So, good hint if you want to get a wedding gift. But besides that, it's also Pinterest is a great place to be doing selling of stuff. Now,
let me
keep your 1 in 50 and 1 in 200 ratios going there. But yeah.
Yep. I think that's probably that 1 in 50, 1 in 200 is probably appropriate for just about any kind of social media because it is so much relationship driven. Turn people off. People don't really come to social media to be sold, but yet, you know, if done correctly, they're going to end up liking your stuff and buying your stuff. Do you agree with that, first of all? Or?
Absolutely. You're right. People do not come to social media to be sold. And so remember when I talked at the beginning of all this about interruption marketing? On Facebook, if we want to sell something to them, we have to interrupt them. On Pinterest, that's not the way it's working. Pinterest is much more part of the flow.
Very powerful. You know what else? You know, Jessica does my Pinterest marketing and takes care of a lot of that for me. And because I really didn't. Is she awesome? And she told me through looking at Google Analytics a few months ago, she said, not only are you getting like 4 times the traffic to your websites and blog from Pinterest compared to any other social media site, including Facebook, but the people who come from Pinterest stay 4 times as long, which, you know, for one thing, I think Pinterest is newer and people finding me on Pinterest are not as familiar, so they may take a little bit longer to get to know me on a website. But I thought, man, that's pretty powerful statistics.
So let me ask you a question. At the first part of this call, you said, I work primarily on Facebook, but you just told me that Pinterest is more powerful for you.
It is. A true statement. I don't handle my own Pinterest, truth be told. I'm pretty open about that because there's only so much I can do.
Okay.
And,
so may I make a suggestion to you? And
sure
I'm
can.
Making this suggestion to you and to everybody else who is listening to this. You are not uncommon. What you just said is not uncommon. What we're doing is we're focusing on the wrong things. So what you may want to do is to have her work on your Facebook and you start working on your Pinterest. Or make a personal commitment that you're going to post at least 10 items a week to Pinterest yourself. Just so
wow.
You get to know it better and can figure out more strategies that you can do there.
I'm writing that down. Don, what's a couple do's and don'ts for blogging? We kind of glanced on blogging, but clearly that's one of the most important things you have. You got a couple good tips on do's and don'ts?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. So let me just ask one thing. The people who are listening to this podcast, are they more business people or are they individuals who are doing
entrepreneurs,
in other words, bigger or smaller business?
Smaller, definitely smaller. Entrepreneurs and small business owners.
Okay, all right. That's important in the way I answer this. Okay, so I'm going to give you 2 tips. The first one is if you want to get 3 times that this tip will give you 3 times as many inbound links into your blog. It will double the amount of time that people spend on an average page, and it will increase the probability that you will land on the first page of Google in the results by 53%. Do you want to know what that tip is?
Absolutely.
Put videos in your blog post. Adding videos to your blog post. You still have the written blog post, but then you embed a video into that, gets you those 3 results and several others. I just summarized with those 3. And so, in other words, if you think about those 3 results, when I just gave you 3 times the number of inbound links, double the amount of time people spend on page, increasing your probability of getting to the top of Google by 53%, what that does is it's basically saying that the blog, when you put video on it, you increase your search engine rankings significantly. That's really what's happening as a result of this. Plus, you will tend to, on average, 40% of people who come to a page that has written plus video will only watch the video. And if that video is not there, what they tend to do is they bounce off that page. They leave because their video is not there. So you actually increase your readership by 40% too. So a lot of people say, oh, video is hard, it's expensive and everything. I'm just going to tell you one thing really quickly. Just reach in your pocket, take out that video camera you have in it, you usually call it your cell phone, point it at yourself and turn it on, and turn on the video camera and just re-say into that video camera what you just said in writing for your blog post. Don't read your blog post, just re-say it. Post it up to YouTube. If you make a mistake, don't worry about editing it later on. Just hit stop and hit record again and start over. So we are doing this in one take. It might take three takes to get that one take down, but you're not editing anything. And then at the end of it, you just use your cell phone to automatically post it to YouTube. Then go to YouTube and grab the embed code. If you don't know how to do that, just Google it. It's really easy. And post that embed code onto your blog post. Just by doing that, you get all those results I've already talked about.
Wow.
That's the first one. And it's okay. Really, really important. Number two is that the single thing to focus on most in terms of your blog is getting your traffic up. The rich get richer is ultimately the equation that works in blogging. The more traffic you get, the more social media you'll get leading into it, the more links you'll have coming in, the higher you'll make it in the search engines. Everything builds upon itself in the blogging world. And so you need to be focusing on traffic. That's the number one thing. If you're not monetizing very well on your blog, you're not earning a lot of money from it, ignore monetization entirely and just work on traffic. And then the monetization will take care of itself as you progress along. Now, there are other things you can do to increase that, but that's what you focus on.
Okay. What's three?
Three? I only promised two.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to give me three. Okay. That's fine. I misunderstood. How often should someone blog? And you know, how do you promote a blog on social media other than kind of reposting your the headline and a link, I guess, is probably the
okay,
most easiest
so two
way.
Separate questions there. So how often should you blog? Statistics say that those who blog 20 times per month get on average 1,200 leads per month. And on average, those who blog 20 times per month get four times as much traffic and as many leads as those who blog four times a month or fewer. In other words, once every day is
okay.
The ideal ratio.
Very good. And what about the social media part?
Social media. So the best thing to do in social media is to, number one, put the little social media buttons to tweet this, and like this, and plus one this, and those kinds of things. Then publish your blog post, and as soon as you get done publishing your blog post, go back and click on each one of those and like them on your personal account. Now, there's two reasons why you do this. The first one is you just posted that to your personal account, which will tell your personal friends, here's this thing. But then the other thing you did is you just made all those things be more than zero, which increases the probability when someone else comes to it that they're going to click on those buttons too. And there's nothing against the rules in doing what I just said. If you do that every day 100 times, yeah, it's a problem. But if you do it on every blog post once, you're just fine in doing that. So then immediately after you do that, go on to your Facebook page and post a catchy headline. Never, ever, ever use the automated tools that automatically post to Facebook and Twitter, etc. Always spend the 2 minutes necessary to do it by hand. Why? Because the things that work in automatic posting tools don't work in really generating traffic to a blog post. So go onto your Facebook page, write a compelling headline, choose one of the pictures from that blog post. You should always have pictures on your blog post. I guess that's number three. And then post it. Now, how many times should you post a given blog post? Once, certainly. Twice is usually okay.
Okay.
And on Twitter, 2 to 3 times.
Don, have you noticed at all Facebook profile pages and things like that, is the amount of I don't know if you want to call it interactivity going down. It used to be where you get tons of likes or comments and stuff. And is it just their whole algorithm changing? Are people not seeing your stuff as much? Or have you noticed anything like that?
Yeah, sure. What's happening is your stuff's not being seen.
Okay.
Facebook, basically what it's come down to is Facebook, if you want to be seen, you have to pay for it. So on average, Facebook is going to expose for free your stuff to a very, very small number of people who have interacted with you in the past and a few others to see if they will interact with you. If they don't interact with you, they're not going to see any more of your posts.
Hmm.
So it's a very small number, and it's their algorithm that's doing it. Now, you can beat that algorithm by getting more and more interactions with more and more people, but even the best companies that interact with the most, I've seen them getting over the past several months down 80% in their in the number of people who actually see their stuff.
And when you're saying paying, I mean, on a profile page, you can hit the promote it, and you know, the only option that comes up is like for $6.99. I don't see where you get a choice there. If you post something on a fan page, of course, you can set a budget, you know, from $10 or $15 up to $100 or more. Which one are you talking about, or both?
I mean, from a fan page sponsoring posts.
Okay. And have you done any testing on those? I mean, is that producing results? A pretty broad-based question, I realize. But do you recommend a lot of your clients sponsor their posts?
Absolutely. It's the only way to really market on Facebook these days.
Okay.
And you're going to want to go beyond that into some of the other advertising tools that they have, which will give you cheaper prices and more ability to target and those kinds of things. But that's way beyond what we can cover in this particular call at this point.
Right. So final question. You know, a lot of people thought, whether it's a year or 2 years ago, Google Plus was going to be the new champ, including folks like Chris Brogan and things like that. I don't think many people have seen that materialize. Do you have any opinions on Google Plus?
Google Plus is, of all the social media sites, Google Plus is probably the single most important one for you to promote your stuff on. And I know
because
that
of the Google search engine, right?
But what you just did is you just told Google you're there. So then they send their spider over to pick it up and get it into the search results. Now, the more interaction that you can get in Google Plus on your posts, the higher your pages are going to go in the search engines. But I certainly would never discount Google Plus. Ignore the fact that it appears to be a ghost town. By the way, the ghosts are becoming fewer and farther in between, and there are some actual people walking the streets of Google Plus these days. And so, in other words, it's not as much of a ghost town as it used to be, but it's nowhere close to the interactivity of Facebook at this point. But you must be posting everything to Google Plus and encouraging everyone to post your stuff to Google Plus also.
Okay. Now, with Google Plus, does it matter? I mean, if you're posting there a lot, does it matter how many? I mean, there it's not friends, it's people in your circles and whatnot. Should you be actively growing your circle of influence or circles of friends, so to speak?
You want to be in as many as you can because those are the people that are seeing your stuff. Plus, it also, whether it has yet or not is debatable. I'd argue that it has not. My bet is that over time, your number of circles that you are a part of is going to become one of the author ranking elements in the Google algorithm.
Okay. And are there any opportunities to promote a post on Google Plus as there is on Facebook?
Not the same way at this time.
Okay.
I'm sure there are some more things coming along, and I'm sure they're testing some things, but it's not yet at that point as it is on Facebook.
Well, we've covered a heck of a lot of ground, Don. Is there anything I maybe should have asked you that I didn't about what's hot and growing and all that?
We haven't talked about Instagram at all.
Okay.
It's hot and it's growing. It's a little bit harder to work with because you can only work from your phone. And there are a few apps that allow you to be able to do some other things, but it's primarily based upon your phone, and it's a lot harder to build an audience today, a huge audience on Instagram. But if you already have an Instagram audience, by all means, you should definitely be using it. And if you have not built one, you should be studying Instagram and how to build that at this point. In terms of prioritization, it's important, especially if you have a business that is highly consumer-driven. If you have a business-to-business kind of business, it's probably lower in priority there. But, Instagram is important. LinkedIn is obviously important if you're a business-to-business. So, yeah.
Awesome. Don, this has been a phenomenal amount of information you've shared. I can't thank you enough. And I know a lot of people probably want to connect with you and learn more. And I know you got a ton of products and informational things that can help them with their social media endeavors. Why don't you give us a good website that they can go to?
Okay. So doncrowther.com, doncrowther.com. And please sign up for the email list there, and you'll get – a lot of great information, plus there's always great information on that blog itself.
Appreciate it very much, Don. Thank you so much. Been a very, very good interview. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Cool. All right, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with the super talented marketer, obviously Don Crowther. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.